Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, Radio Westerns. Later on, Jimmy Stewart is Britt Ponsett, the six shooter. But right now, John Daner stars as Paladin and Have Gun Will Travel. From May 10th, 1959 on CBS, it's the story, The Statue of San Sebastian.
You own one of the largest ranches in California. The most cattle, the best land, and the toughest riders. But I'll tell you something, Mr. Crown. The little mission of San Sebastian is going to defeat you. Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Oh, Mr. Paladin.
Good morning, hey boy.
Oh, hope I don't spoil breakfast, Patty.
No.
Telegram came for you just now.
Thank you.
Eating breakfast in dining room, most unusual for you. A rare occasion.
Hey, boy. Who's that young lady? Over there, sitting alone at the table next to the window.
Oh, that young lady checked in 2 days ago. Suite 212.
Alone?
Alone.
Charming.
Are you up on telegram?
Oh, yes. Hey, boy. Why don't you ask the young lady if I might join her for a cup of coffee? She must be lonely.
Oh, so early in the morning. Well, rush telegram. What happened? Make social engagement.
Wait a minute, hey, boy.
What happened?
I've changed my mind. This telegram's from Mr. Ian Crown in San Sebastian, California. He offers a rather large sum of money. Would you send him a wire, please?
Have Gun Will Travel.
Yes. I'll be leaving on the next stage.
What about poor, charming, lonely young lady?
That'll have to wait until I return. Unfortunately, business comes first.
This is Frank Knight speaking for the world's most honored watch, Longines. In the conquest of the Old West, men won fame through feats of bravery and daring. Today, things are different, but fame can still be won. How wonderful to win a Nobel Prize in science, a Pulitzer Award in literature, and Olympic gold medal in sports. These great honors are symbols of achievement. In the field of time, did you know that Longines watches have won more great public honors than any other watch in the world? This is true. The highest authorities have ranked Longines watches as the finest achievement in the science and art of watchmaking. Yet a Longines, the world's most honored watch, styled with distinction, cased in precious metal, promising a lifetime of faultless timekeeping, is not costly. Many models are priced as low as $75. Visit your authorized Longines Whitnor jeweler. He will be honored to serve you.
The stage ride down the Camino Real brought me at last to San Sebastian, one of the mission towns established 100 years ago by the followers of Junipero Serra. I knew this country well, its low green valleys and crisp ocean air. I did not know Ian Crown. I inquired at the stage office.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
How far is it to the Crown Ranch?
Ian Crown's place?
Yes.
A little past a mile southeast of here. Head right on out the main road, and take the fork to the left just before you get to the mission.
Any place I can rent a horse around here?
Well, livery stable's just across the street, mister. Can't miss it. It's the only building on that side.
Thanks.
Senor?
Yes?
Would you give something for the mission?
Something for the mission?
Please. You give money?
A donation?
Si, please. A donation.
Well, I think we can manage that. I should have a dollar in my wallet.
Senor, you are very rich. So much money.
See now. Yeah, here we are. Yeah. Hey! Hey, come back here! You little thief.
What happened, mister?
Well, a boy stole my wallet.
Pedro?
You know him?
Yeah, that was Pedro from the mission.
He asked me for a donation, and when I offered him a dollar, he grabbed my wallet and ran off.
That doesn't seem like Pedro. He's a good boy.
Yeah, he's got a good wallet. Did you say he's from the mission?
That's right. He lives there.
I hadn't planned on it, but I think I'll pay this mission a visit. I figured that if Crown had waited for me to travel all the way from San Francisco, a few more hours' delay wouldn't hurt, and I wanted my wallet back. It wasn't bulging with money, but there were papers I couldn't replace. At the mission of San Sebastian, a Franciscan monk met me, introducing himself as Father Bartolome. As we walked through the cool, flower-filled courtyard of the lovely old mission, I told the priest about Pedro and what had happened. He invited me to his study.
Won't you be seated, Senor Paladin?
Thank you.
I'm so very sorry about all this. How much money did you have in your wallet?
$22 in cash. There was also a banknote for $50.
I have exactly $22 on my desk. They are undoubtedly yours. Pedro brought it to me less than 30 minutes ago. He was somewhat out of breath and quite nervous. Your story explains his actions. Here you are, Senor Paladin.
Thank you, Father. I don't suppose he said anything about the wallet.
No, Senor.
Do you think he still has it?
Perhaps he can answer that question himself. Will you excuse me, Senor Paladin? Pedro.
Si, Padre.
Would you come in here, please? Hey, Pedro, you know why this man is here.
Si, Padre.
Is it not true that you took his wallet and ran away?
Si.
Si. That was very wrong, Pedro.
Si, Padre.
Why would you do this?
I'm sorry, Padre, but there was so much money. I had to take it for San Sebastian. It was wrong, Padre. I know it was wrong.
Hey, where is the wallet now, my son?
In the stable.
Please get it and bring it back to this room.
Si, Padre.
Oh, Father, I'm sorry this has happened. I hope you won't find it necessary to be too severe with the boy.
No, Senor. He has learned his lesson already.
Why does Pedro beg for donations for this mission? It's by far the best preserved and the most beautiful of all the missions I've seen.
Oh, si, senor. San Sebastian is a diamond of all missions. Thanks to Senor Crown.
Ian Crown?
Si. You know him?
No, we haven't met, but I was on my way to his ranch when this happened. But what is his connection with this mission?
Well, senor, several years ago, before California became a part of the United States, the Mexican government sold the missions to raise defense funds for their treasury. It was then that Senor Crown became the owner of San Sebastian.
You mean Crown bought the mission from the Mexican government?
Si, senor.
Uh-huh.
While most of the others wasted to ruins, this mission prospered under the skilled management of Senor Crown. But then, when President Lincoln signed the bill giving the missions back to the church, Senor Crown was forced to relinquish this mission and the land around it.
He was paid for the land, wasn't he?
Oh, si, senor. But he was not in sympathy with the price. To compensate for the additional payment he felt was due to him, he took the statue of our patron saint, San Sebastian, from its rightful place in this mission. He is now in his home, and he refuses to return it to us.
Do you think he'll ever give the statue back to the mission?
No, senor. Not unless we pay him for it.
How much does he want?
$2,000. An impossible sum. It would take many years to accumulate that much money.
And that's why Pedro begs for donations.
Our people are most anxious to have the statue returned.
Well, certainly. How much money have you collected, Father?
Senor Paladin, this is not a rich parish. In 10 years, we have secured only $985. Come in.
I have got the wallet, Padre.
Bueno. Give it to Senor Paladin.
Senor.
Thank you, Pedro.
I'm sorry, senor. Please forgive me.
Senor Paladin, please check your wallet for the banknote you mentioned.
It's here, Father. Everything's here. Pedro.
Si, senor.
At the stage office, I was going to give you a donation. You remember?
Si.
Would you accept this $5 gold piece for the statue of San Sebastian?
Oh, si, senor. Gracias. Gracias.
Friends drop in, let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
The green rolling acres that surrounded the Crown Ranch were covered with giant oaks and thousands of Black Angus cattle. And a mile beyond the main gate, on a tree-studded knoll, sat the house of Ian Crown, imposing, rich, almost feudal. From my talk with Father Bartolome, I had pictured Crown as the typical elderly, austere rancher. Instead, I found a cordial man who was having more than his share of trouble with an outlaw, Sancho Fernandez.
No, during the last 3 months, he's robbed two of my payroll shipments. And he's run off near 300 head of prime beef. Now, he's got to be stopped, Paladin. I'm depending on you to bring him in.
I've never heard this Fernandez before. Does he confine his activities to this part of the country?
Strictly to my reign.
To your reign?
Yeah.
Hasn't he been plaguing the other ranchers?
No, just me.
Huh. Why has he singled you out?
Well, his brother used to work for me. He was killed in an accident during a cattle drive. Fernandez thinks I'm responsible. But I'm not. The man was thrown from his saddle. It was an accident.
I see.
Here, let me fill your glass. Huh?
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. That's excellent wine.
Yeah, thank you. We make it ourselves. Grapes come from my own vineyard.
You must be proud of this ranch, Mr. Crown. It's one of the finest spreads I've seen.
Yeah. Taking a lot of years, a lot of hard work to make it what it is. I'm not going to let an old renegade like Fernandez start nipping away at it. Well, what do you say, Paladin?
I say yes, Mr. Crown. I'll take the job.
For the $1,000?
Right.
Well, that's good, that's good. All right, what are your plans?
I don't know yet. It'll take me a few days to learn what I need.
Oh, of course.
This statue, Mr. Crown, I've been admiring it.
Well, that's San Sebastian, Mr. Paladin. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. I was talking to Father Bartolome at the mission this afternoon.
Oh, I see. Suppose he told you what a heathen I am, because I won't give him back your statue.
We didn't discuss your personal
faith. I give that statue back when I get the money that's... Men...
Mr. Crown.
Oh, what is it, Carl?
Fernandez. He stopped the stage and took the payroll money.
Oh. Anybody hurt?
No, he made us get out of the stage, took the money from me, and then stampeded the horses.
And that's the third time. Oh, Paladin, this is my foreman, Carl Stocker.
How do you do?
How are you?
Carl here is bringing the payroll money from the bank in Coldwater.
Where did it happen?
About 3 miles before we got into San Sebastian. We had a walk into town.
And he's had plenty of time to hide out. Mr. Crown, you'll be needing more money from the bank to meet the payroll.
That's right.
I'll go up to Coldwater tomorrow and bring it back. Now, you let everybody know I'll be returning alone, on horseback. I had concealed the payroll money under my shirt and was on the trail back from Coldwater. A mile out of San Sebastian, there was still no sign of Sancho Fernandez. But he didn't disappoint me.
Stop! senor. My rifle is pointed directly between your shoulders. It would be a mistake to turn around.
I believe you.
Now, drop your gun belt to the ground. Dismount and stand with your back to me. You have some money for Senor Crown. Where is it?
You're well informed.
Money. Where is it?
In my shirt.
With a gun, no doubt. Do not move. Turn around. Now, senor, drop the money to the ground. Careful. Now you may turn around and take a few steps away. That will be far enough. Now, you will not be needing your horse. Hurry, hurry! Now, just stand steady, senor. It's not too long a walk to the rancho. Give my regards to Senor Crown.
Sancho, there's a derringer pointing at your back.
Good night.
Drop your rifle.
You won't get far with a hole in your back, Senor Fernandez.
Sancho left an easy trail to follow through the yellow wheat fields. He had managed to stay on his horse, but he had lost a lot of blood along the way. His trail led to the mission at San Sebastian.
Senor Paladin?
The Padres told me Fernandez was here.
He is dead. Let us go to my study. Why do you ask for Sancho Fernandez?
Ian Crown hired me to bring him in.
Are you responsible for this?
We had a gunfight a mile or so out of town. He robbed me of some money I was delivering to Crown. I followed him here.
He was almost dead when he arrived. He asked for sanctuary.
Did he have the money on him?
Si, senor. He told me that he wanted to donate it for the statue of San Sebastian.
But that money belongs to Crown.
I suspected that, for we are aware of Sancho's hatred for Senor Crown. I sent Pedro to the ranch to bring Senor Crown here.
Father, I just want you to know that it was unavoidable. Under the circumstances, I had to shoot Sancho.
Si, senor. It was bound to happen. Sancho has been misguided since the death of his brother. Senor Crown, come in.
Hello, Father. Paladin, I didn't know you was here. Pedro told me Sancho was wounded. Where is he?
He's dead.
How'd it happen?
Gunfight. He ambushed me on the trail back a ways. Ran my horse off and took the money. We exchanged shots. His horse brought him here.
Senor Crown, I believe this belongs to you.
That's the payroll money, Crown.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Father. Sorry you had to get mixed up in my private affairs. Well, let's go on back to the ranch, Paladin.
No, I think I'll stay here, Mr. Crown. I want to take the next stage back to San Francisco.
Well, we've got a little business to finish up.
Yeah, I know. You owe me a check for $1,000.
That's right.
Well, I want you to turn my fee over to the mission.
To what?
And Father Bartolome, you told me you had $985 in the savings fund for the statue.
Well, no, senor, there are $990. You gave Pedro $5, remember?
I remember. Well, here. I'd also like to donate this $10. This should bring your savings to an even 1,000. Give it to Mr. Crown.
Well, what are you doing, Paladin?
$1,000 Father has accumulated these past 10 years along with my fee.
Totals $2,000, Mr. Crown. You should be able to return the statue of San Sebastian to the mission in time for Mass this Sunday.
Our American youths are flabby, out of condition physically and mentally. That's a strong statement, isn't it? But an organization called the President's Council on Youth Fitness, brought into being in 1956, was created because of evidence indicating that in this era of technology and science, the fitness of our young men and women has become a matter of increasing concern. This week, Youth Fitness Week emphasizes that human resiliency springs from mental, emotional, and spiritual, as well as physical elements. We should, all of us, take a close look at our community to make sure it is providing youth with the social, educational, and athletic facilities they need to develop into strong, full-rounded individuals. The mental aspect of fitness requires a sound, solid education. If you're a parent of teenagers, be sure they remain in high school through their senior year. If you're a high school student, remember that diploma is much more than just a piece of paper. Stay in school and graduate. Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Albert Alley and adapted for radio by Frank Michael. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Don Diamond, James Nusser, Richard Beals, and Perry Cook. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel, on Tuned to Yesterday from May 10th, 1959 on CBS, featuring the Albert Alley story, The Statue of San Sebastian, which was first seen on the TV version starring Richard Boone on June 14th, 1958. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levinier. And now Eleanor Audley stars as Stacy Galt in the broadcast of The Six Shooter with Jimmy Stewart as leading man Britt Ponsett from November 8, 1953 on NBC.
In just a moment, James Stewart as The Six Shooter. Just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Each Sunday, listen to the music of the NBC Symphony Orchestra from Carnegie Hall. Hear the amusing adventures of Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy in The Marriage. And tune to the NBC Star Playhouse with the nation's greatest stars. Wonderful programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both The Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends. Now, in just a moment, immediately following this important announcement, you will hear Act One of The Six Shooter. Meet the safe driver. If you know what makes him stay alive on the highways, you may be able to follow his good example. He always keeps his car in A1 mechanical condition. He shows courtesy for other drivers. He knows that speed is his greatest enemy. And most important, he knows and obeys the laws. Remember, few accidents happen with safe drivers. Are you one of them? Now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart.
Mr. I sure couldn't figure it. I'd ridden down the whole main street all the way from Seth Tooley's bank to Ma Benson's rooming house, and I hadn't seen a single solitary person. The stores were closed, shut tight. There wasn't even a wagon or a horse out in front of them. It looked like the town of Elk Point had just up and gone to sleep, but that didn't make sense either, not at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Whoa, Scar. Whoa, boy. Well, Ma Benson didn't know what the trouble was. She always had a pretty good notion about everything that went on in Jackson County. You know, folks always used to say that's why the Elk Point Gazette kept going broke.
Yeah.
Old Sadie Benson was too much competition.
Who is it?
Brett Ponson.
Brett?
Yeah.
Well, how do I know it's you?
Well, opening the door might be one way of finding out.
It does sound like you're all right. But if it ain't, I'm just a poor widow woman without a cent to my name. I don't think you're going to...
Oh, come on now. Come on, Ma. Open up the door.
Oh, Britt, thank goodness. Thank goodness. Well, don't just stand there. Get inside, quick, so I can lock up again.
Oh, sure. All right.
You can't imagine what a fright you gave me when I heard you knocking out there. Oh, but I must say there ain't anybody I'd rather see today.
Well, now, that's a very flattering greeting, Ma. But what's behind that?
Oh, now stop joshing me, Britt. At a time like this when we all might be murdered any minute.
Murdered?
Stacy Galt is headed this way. Now, don't tell me you didn't know.
Galt?
That's what I said. Stacy Galt.
Stacy Galt. Oh, I hadn't heard he was in these parts.
You hadn't heard?
No.
Then what on earth brought you to Elk Point?
Oh, I was just passing through on my way to White River. I thought I might stop off long enough to have one of those fine home-cooked meals of yours. Isn't that reason enough?
Well, you're heaven sent, Britt Ponsett. That's what you are. Heaven sent. Come on out in the kitchen with me while I give you the news.
Sure.
I was fixing a batch of cornbread. I had to do something to keep myself from thinking about what might happen. Oh, you can draw up that stool there if you like.
Oh, fine.
Before you sit down, hand me them eggs, will you?
Eggs? Oh, sure. Here they are.
Well, now, the first sign of trouble was when Galt held up the Fargo station over in Fort Shafter. That was 10 days, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Well, Shafter's 200 miles from Elk Point.
Well, that's why folks didn't get too excited. Not then, anyhow. We never figured he'd come this far west. You never had before.
Yeah, I guess that's all. Yeah.
But last Monday, he was in White River.
Oh?
Robbed the White River First National. Got away with over $50,000. $50,000! Marshal Andrews, he's the district marshal over to White River. He trailed Galt 5 or 6 miles out of town, and then he lost him. But there wasn't no doubt which way Galt was fixing to go.
Oh,
now where to put that pan? Oh, yes, here it is. Well, anyhow, just this morning, Ed Scott came barreling into town. He's got the old McBride Ranch out in Easter Canyon, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, Ed seen him last night riding through the canyon.
He's Galt, huh?
Couldn't have been nobody else. Ed recognized him right off, he did.
He did. I thought you said Galt had never been around Elk Point before.
Well, there's pictures of him, ain't there? On them wanted posters?
Yeah.
Now I know I've left something out of this batter. If I could only think what... Oh, my stars, bacon powder. You know, when you use sweet milk, you got to put in bacon powder, or the bread just don't raise up at all. That cupboard right behind you, Britt, please.
Back here?
That door there. Right there.
Oh,
there. It's on the second shelf. Little red can.
Red can.
That's the one. Well, now, like I say, Ed brung the news to town this morning.
Mm-hmm. And that's when everybody took cover, huh?
What else was we to do without a single able-bodied man to defend us?
Oh.
Eddie Scott rounded them all up, formed a posse, and went out hunting Galt.
Oh, now, what about Sheriff Henry? It sounds like that'd be his job, wouldn't it?
Sheriff Henry ain't here.
Oh, I see.
Just when we need him most, he's delivering a prisoner over to county jail at Jackson.
I see.
Of course, that gave Ed Scott his chance to take charge. He's always been the pushing type, wanting to run everything. I guess he figures if he can capture Galt, it'll be a real feather in his cap. Not to mention the $10,000 reward the White River First National is offering.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
It sure is. $10,000. Oh, can you open the oven for me?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Now, be careful, Britt. Now, don't you burn yourself. You better use that dish towel there on the rack.
All right.
I don't know why I bothered making cornbread. Won't be anybody here to eat it. Except maybe you, Britt. You'll stay for supper anyway, won't you, in spite of this Galt business?
Well, it would take more than Stacy Galt to do me out of some of your cornbread. Gee whiz, I'd ride 20 miles just to get a whiff of it.
Oh, I would, yes. Well, my cooking's all right, but it ain't nothing exceptional.
No, it's...
Oh, you always was one to hand out the blood.
Uh-oh.
Don't stop it. You'll have me so flustered. I won't know whether I'm coming or going.
I think I'll go out and put Scar in the barn.
Well, you're welcome to feed him. There's plenty of hay.
Thanks. Ma.
Yeah?
Now, you weren't serious about there only being two of us for supper, weren't you?
Well, I sure was.
Well, but they used to have plenty of boarders, more than you could take care of.
Oh, I've still got my boarders, Britt. But they're all out with Ed Scott's posse.
Oh, I see.
I told you. There ain't a male between the ages of 10 and 60 left in town. Besides you, of course. Why, even old man Fletcher went along with that posse.
No.
They had to help him onto his horse, but he went. Well, you better hurry now, Britt. I'll have supper on the table by the time you get back from the barn.
It is quite a supper, too. Baked ham with brown sugar dripping down the sides, and mashed potatoes swimming in gravy, enough green lima beans to feed the whole population of Elk Point. And that cornbread, gee whiz, it just light yellow and fluffy with homemade maple syrup to pour over it, I tell you. When I started eating it, I figured I'd have a hard time making a dent in the plate Ma put before me, but the next thing I knew, I was asking for seconds. No, just a thin slice, Ma. No, that's too much. That's too much.
Now, I'll only have to throw it away.
No, just go easy on it. No, I don't know, though.
A few more potatoes?
No, I don't want any more potatoes, Ma.
All right, Bridget. Just a few.
No, I don't want any more beans.
Now, you can't eat ham with nothing to go with it.
No, I don't want any.
Oh, goodness. Here you are.
How about you, Ma? You've hardly touched any of your food.
Oh, what you cook yourself don't taste as good somehow.
Mm-hmm. You're not still worrying about Stacy Gall, are you?
Oh, certainly am not. Not since you showed up. If he come into town now, you'd take care of him.
I don't imagine he'll get past Ed Scott's posse.
And you don't know Ed Scott very good. Why, he'll have that posse running around in circles. I'll bet you could drive a herd of cattle right through the middle of them men, and they wouldn't even notice.
You want me to answer it?
No. I'll see who it is. You might keep your right hand free, though, just in case. Who's there?
It's Seth Tooley. Yes.
Seth. What are you doing back? You ain't caught Galt, have you?
No, we ain't caught him. Is Britt Ponsett in town? My wife thought she seen him going into your place this afternoon.
Yeah, he's here, but... Get
out of the way, Ma. I gotta talk to Britt.
Oh, there's Seth.
Britt, he's in Elk Point. Stacy Galt is in Elk Point.
No.
Yes, he is. I saw him not 5 minutes ago riding over the South Creek Bridge. He means to rob my bank. I know he does. That's the only thing he could have come for.
Well, you've got more than enough men to take care of him, haven't you, Seth?
The posse's still out combing the hills, away out in the hills, yeah.
What? Seth?
Well, my rheumatism started acting up. It was paining me something terrible. I had to drop out and come back alone.
That rheumatism of yours is sure a convenient sickness sometimes, Seth.
Well, you can be mighty thankful for it tonight. Otherwise, Galt might have got by unnoticed. Oh, we got to move fast, Britt, before he reaches the bank. I brought my 44. I figure the two of us together.
Hold on, Seth. What makes you so sure the man you saw was Galt?
It's got to be him. Fits his description to a T.
Pretty dark out there, you know.
He was on the trail from White River. There's nowhere else could come from. Britt, we all know Galt was headed this way.
What did I tell you? He got through Ed Scott's posse just like I said he would.
Yeah, he might have at that. There was a couple of times when we sort of lost our whereabouts. Well, come on, Britt. You ain't going to leave me to take care of Galt all alone, are you? Not that I'd be afraid to try it, of course.
All right, Seth. I'm coming. I wasn't quite finished my supper, but I...
Now, who on earth?
Now, wait a minute. Wait. Don't answer it, Ma. Why, that might be Stacy Galt.
Now, why would Galt be coming here to Ma's place? Now, I'll see who it is.
Well, I'll cover you, Britt. While you open the door, you ain't got a thing to worry about. I'll cover you.
Honey.
Sign out front says rooms. I'm looking for a place to stay.
It's him. It's him, Ma. It's him.
Well, come on in. Here, this is Ma Benson. This is her rooming house.
Evening, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I'm full up.
Oh? That's too bad. I was only going to be here one night. Any place else I might stop over?
No! That is not that I know of.
Well?
Before you go, mister.
Yeah?
We don't mean to be nosy or anything like that, but would you mind telling us what you're doing here in Elk Point?
I got some business at the bank tomorrow.
The bank? Oh.
That's right. What are you doing with that gun, mister?
What? Yeah, oh.
Here, let me pick it up for you.
No. Hey, never mind. Just leave it there. Just leave it.
Laying on the floor?
Well, it ain't loaded anyway.
A man's a fool to carry an unloaded gun. Say, what time does the bank open up in the morning?
It ain't open tomorrow. Tomorrow's a holiday.
That's so? Funny, I didn't know.
Well, it's kind of a special holiday just here in Elk Point.
Oh.
You came from White River, didn't you, mister?
That's right. And how did you... Oh, you heard about me. I was on my way, huh? News sure travels fast, don't it?
Yes, it sure does.
Well, if you haven't got a vacant room, mind
you.
Well...
You sure you can't squeeze him in somewhere?
Yes.
You know, since some of your regulars won't be back tonight anyway, you could. How about it, Ma?
Well, I guess I could find a place for him if you really think.
I'd appreciate it, ma'am.
Well, just follow me upstairs and I'll see what I can do.
Thanks, mister.
No trouble.
Well, what's the matter with you, Britt? Get Ma to let him stay here.
Well, if he's Galt, well, this way we'll be able to keep an eye on him, don't you?
If he's... You seen that satchel he was carrying, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, don't you see? That's where he's got the stolen money. You can bet your bottom dollar on it.
Mm-hmm. No.
And Britt, you heard what he said about my bank. He was telling us plain as day that he means to rob it. That's the way Galt is. Everybody says so. You better stop that eating and listen to me. He comes right out and announces what he aims to do. Don't make no bones about it. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't hear him mention anything about robbing you, Seth.
You didn't? How much plainer could he make it? And you, Britt, I'm surprised at you. He was standing there wide open. Why, you could have outgawed him without even half trying.
Well, I guess either of us could have done that, Seth, seeing as how he wasn't wearing a gun.
What?
Pass me that cornbread, will you?
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment. When it's entertainment you're after, you'll find the very best on this station of the NBC Radio Network. Thursday night, for example, Robert Young portrays Jim Anderson on Father Knows Best, a program which is based on the assumption that the man of the family can put one over on the wife and youngsters. The same night, you can enjoy the zany stunts on Truth or Consequences with Ralph Edwards. When Ralph sends a contestant off on a consequence, it usually ends up as one of radio's funniest. And if you like Western songs and adventures, hear The Roy Rogers Show. Then, to top it all off, hear the little-known stories of show business that Eddie Cantor tells on his show business show. Yes, Thursday is packed with stellar entertainment on the NBC Radio Network. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Seth Tooley just stood there watching me finish up supper, and the expression on his face didn't help my digestion much. He sure did look disgusted. But I just wasn't convinced that this new fella and Stacy Galt were the same man. I'd never seen Galt before, of course, and the fella Ma took upstairs did look something like the wanted posters, and he had come from White River. That was all true, but no done. The poster pictures and the satchel and where a man comes from just don't prove he's an outlaw. At least, not for certain.
You gonna sit there eating all night?
No.
Britt Ponsett!
No, I'm done now.
Well?
Well, he's not robbing your back, Seth.
Well, what do you want me to do? Wait till he tries it?
No, now look. Now, we're not sheriffs or deputies, and we can't arrest somebody just on suspicion. And besides, I don't think he's Galt.
Oh, you don't?
My dear, just don't stand to reason. Now, why would Galt come riding into town here? He knows everybody's on the lookout for him.
Well, with that posse out in the hills, he's a lot safer here in town than he would be anywhere else. And don't think he don't know that, too.
Well, it's about time to turn in, I think.
Britt!
Now, look, Seth, when Sheriff Henry comes back, he can arrest this fellow if he wants to. I think he'd make a mistake. I think he'd be arresting the wrong man, but, well.
Britt Ponsett, I'll never forgive you for this. Not if I live to be 70, 90.
No, Ma.
Leaving me at the mercy of a killer. Why, we'd have been better off if you never showed up in Elk Point at all. This is terrible.
Now, just take it easy, Ma.
Take it easy? Stacy Galt staying right under my own roof?
Now, you could be jumping to conclusions, same as Seth here.
Oh, am I? Do you know what's in that satchel?
Nope.
Money. Stacks and stacks of it.
Oh, now, Ma.
I watched him through the keyhole. He took it out and started counting it. And there's slips of paper fastened around the bills. And the printing on that paper says White River First National Bank.
There, you see.
You sure of this, Ma?
Well, I'm sure of my own eyes, ain't I? All right. And that ain't all he's got. You remember what it said on the wanted poster about how Galt always wears yellow leather gloves?
Yes, I remember.
Well, he's got the gloves, too. Right there in the satchel with the money. Ha! Ha! You satisfied now, Britt? Seth, you gotta find the posse and bring him back here as soon as you can.
All right, Ma. You'll see that he don't get away, Britt.
Yep, I'll see to it.
Well, for heaven's sake, Seth, hurry.
Sure, Ma, sure. Hurry.
Gee, I'm sorry if I got you into something, Ma, but I just can't believe...
You can't believe what, Britt?
Nothing, Ma, nothing. Well, Ma cleared off the table and took the dishes out the kitchen. I offered to dry, but she said she'd rather do them herself, so I went into the parlor to wait. The fellow upstairs was moving around and getting ready for bed. At least, that's what I hoped he was doing. His room was right over my head, and when the bed springs gave out a little creak, I felt a little better about things. About 20 minutes later, Ma came out and sat down in her rocker beside the fireplace. She was crocheting one of those doodads you put in the arm of a chair, you know. We didn't do much talking. Not for the next couple of hours, we didn't. And then about 11 o'clock, the posse came riding up. Well, must be them, Ma.
Oh, it's about time.
Maybe you'd better wait in the kitchen in case there's any trouble, huh?
There won't be no trouble now, thanks to Seth Tooley.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
oh,
Ma.
Oh, all right, Britt, all right.
He's still here, Britt?
Yeah, he's asleep.
Oh, you know Britt Ponsett, don't you, Ed?
Yeah, sure. Now, here's the plan. The rest of the boys have got the house surrounded.
Whole house surrounded.
Galt couldn't get out no matter what happened. Uh-huh. All right, now. The three of us will go upstairs. Come on. Yeah. Now, as soon as we get to his room, I'll kick the door open. Then we all blaze away at the bed.
Now. Just hold on here a minute. Just hold on.
Yeah? Well, what's the matter,
Now, what you're talking about is cold-blooded murder.
Whoa. Just giving him a dose of his own medicine, that's all.
That's all?
Yeah. Now, Ed...
Now, don't tell me you still ain't satisfied that he's galt.
Maybe he is. That doesn't matter. He's entitled to a trial just like everybody else.
Oh, use your head, Britt. If we try taking him alive, he's bound to get one or two of us first.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the way we're going to take him, anyway.
Now, Britt...
Now, you just... wait here, both of you. I'll bring him down to you. And I want your word that he goes to jail in one piece, huh?
I can't promise nothing like that. The boys outside are pretty mad about it.
Maybe the boys would like to shoot it out with both Galt and me. Hmm?
Britt, you don't...
What do you say,
that.
Scott?
Well, all right, Britt. He goes to jail. But so help me...
Seth, how about him?
Sure, Britt, sure.
But if anything happens to you, you got nobody but yourself to blame.
Only yourself.
Upstairs hall was pitch dark. Moved along quiet as I could. I'm trying to remember where the doors were. It's been a couple of years since I'd stayed at Benson's. I wasn't just sure which room. I pressed my ear against the door and listened. I couldn't hear anybody breathing inside, so I headed for the next door. Right there. Now, I had my hand on the knob. When I hooked my leg on the hall table and I reached out to catch him. Oh, he'd be awake now, so I had to move fast. I swung the door open and brought up my gun.
Who's there? What do you want?
I stay where you are, and I don't reach for anything.
What? Huh? What are you talking about?
The lamp right beside his bed gave off enough light so I could see him. I leaned over and turned it up. He hadn't moved. He just sat there, eyes wide open, blinking.
What's going on here, mister?
I think you better put your clothes on.
Oh, sure. Whatever you say. But why? What's all this about?
Well, there's some boys downstairs want to talk to you.
Me?
That's right.
What? I don't know anybody in these parts.
Well, they know you. At least they think they do.
Oh?
Yeah, they claim you're Stacy Galt.
Galt?
That's right.
Why, they're crazy, plumb crazy.
They are?
Ain't they hurt? How could I be Galt?
What do you mean?
Galt's in jail, White River. He was captured, locked up day before yesterday.
You sure of that?
I ought to be. I captured him.
You?
The proof's right there in my satchel. Reward money. Hmm? White River First National paid it to me yesterday.
No.
And Marshal Andrews gave me Galt's yellow gloves as a sort of memento of the occasion. Along with a letter of congratulations. Yeah. You see him?
You captured Stacy Galt?
Well, it was kind of accidental. You see, I'm a drummer. Travel around selling gadgets and things. I didn't know the cabin was Galt's hideout. Looked like any other cabin to me. Thought there might be some kids living there. So I was getting up my samples when the door opened. Guess he thought the six-shooter I was holding was a real thing. Of course, it did look mighty genuine for an imitation. You sure make realistic-looking toys these days.
And he didn't try to shoot it out with you?
No. All he said was, okay, you got the drop on me. I didn't know what he was talking about, but I was too surprised to say so.
Yeah.
Next thing he handed me his gun, and, well, it was about then Marshal Andrews come riding up. Marshal was real nice about giving me all the credit. Want to see the letter he writ?
No. But you bring that down along with you, will you? What I want to see is Ed Scott's face when you show him that letter. That's what I want to see. So when he got finished putting his clothes on, I took Amos Foster, that was his name. I took him downstairs, and Ed and Seth, they were standing at the bottom, covering us with their guns. The letter from Marshal Andrews finally convinced him. They put their guns away and marched outside. And that was just about the unhappiest posse I ever saw, considering that they'd caught their man. Ma Benson, she came out of the kitchen in time to hear the tail end of Amos's explanation. She didn't say anything, just shook her head and then offered to make some coffee and heat up what was left of the cornbread. That sounded real good to Amos. Sounded good to me, too, except for one thing. I knew there wasn't any cornbread left to heat up. I sort of finished it off at supper.
The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture Thunder Bay. Others in the cast were Eleanor Audley, Barney Phillips, Forrest Lewis, and Seth Tooley was played by Parley Bear. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam. And the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Hal Gibney speaking. Hear exciting Stroke of Fate tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
The Six Shooter on Tuned to Yesterday from November 8, 1953 on NBC. That brings to an end this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVernier. It's been a pleasure.